There's a lot of things in this old world that just do not make sense. Like why there's so few believers on the firing line, while so many others sit the fence. But if you want to know where the Word of God stands, and believe it wants to use your feet and hands, it's time to take your faith out of the seats and into the streets, and come along with me. If you'll only look, then you will see on WCN TV.
Welcome all. Hey, this isn't Rob Pugh. I know. It isn't Rob Pugh. It's J.R. Harrison, Natural Family Foundation, LastCallRadio.live on Saturday mornings. You know, I am a lucky man. I get to meet some very incredible people, and eat your heart out, Rob Pugh. I get to talk to a pastor that's an activist. Yeah? No, they exist. They exist. They're out there. And we're going to talk to a good one today, Pastor Kevin O'Connor. That's O-C-O-N-N-O-R from Ark Church in Redlands, California. And about a decade ago, I stood outside of a church here locally, and I tried to get the pastors to speak relevant sermons, to get their congregations to engage the culture. And as a result, the church took us to court and got a restraining order. The pastor we're talking to today, I don't think would get the restraining order. Pastor Kevin O'Connor, come on in, boy. You got a long way to go to live up to everything I'm saying.
Oh, well, I've never been identified, JR. It's such a privilege to be with you. I've never been identified as an activist, but I would add I'm an activist for the truth. That's yes, the key there. I'm not an activist to just try to get my way, but we're trying to bring truth to our school systems, to our community, to our churches. And it's amazing how rough the truth can get for people out there. If you say anything that has a little lining of this is truth about our society today, oh, you're a hate monger is what we've been branded. Or for me, because I got white hair and I'm white, they call me a white nationalist in a church that's very multicultural.
Yeah. And you identify as a male too, right?
Yeah, that's definite.
The magic word here is offend, Pastor. O-F-F-E-N-D. Yes. And you can't do anything, especially if you're a white Christian male, you can't do anything right. You are the problem with America today. And that's exactly what our government run schools are teaching children. Okay. That it's them white folks, them white male folks that are a big problem. I want to get into your church, what your church did. And I'm so excited about this because I don't hear this often enough, if at all. And listen, a church is a place where you go to learn the Bible. You learn about Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. You learn a lot of things in the church, folks. But if you just keep it in the church, if you just keep it in the Bible and you don't go outside, of what good are you? Seriously. I mean, prayer is important, but society needs you. Take a look around. Look what you're seeing. I mean, it's just absolutely insane. I want to, if you would, Spencer, play that video, kind of give the folks some idea of what's going on with this church and with the pastor and the school board.
Well, JR, first off, you hit the nail on the head. The progressive, the devil, they don't care what we do on Sunday. It's what we do Monday through Saturday that makes the problem. And what God started doing within our church over a year ago, when we were coming up to the 24 elections, we had a group of three people in our congregation that decided to run for school board. We've had some great connections through Jack Hibbs Church and their organization called Real Impact, and then Ted Thompson's Church 412 in Temecula that has actually a family pack that gave legitimacy to our three candidates, and two out of the three got elected. And that's been the game changer for our church here. We're a church 114 years in the Redlands community, and we've been standing for truth, for the unity of the community. We're not here to divide the community. We're here to try to rescue the soul of the community so that a subculture doesn't get their agenda shoved down everybody else's throat.
Yep. In defense of the truth, in defense of the truth. So your church kind of engaged the culture. Let's go ahead and play that clip, if you would.
3 days after we met at a school board meeting, someone put a swastika on our church sign and on both sides of our parking sign and on the exit of our sidewalk there, kind of like a warning to us. Our church got vandalized 3 days after we met at a school board meeting where we're addressing four key issues: trans playing in women's sports, the teachers keeping information of a child wanting to change their name or their sexual identity at school and not telling the parents, pornography that's in the library right now that they claiming it as books. We're saying no, it's pornography, and we do not want any flag but the American flag and the California flag in the schools. ABC called me that Saturday morning after the police report went out. They gave a 20-second report on live television that night. They made us sound like, yes, we're Nazis who banned books, and they never used the word pornography. They never talked about trans women being in girl sports. They didn't talk about hiding information from the parents. They didn't talk about the gay flag representing a subculture. They flipped the switch that I said, if I watched that, I'd say that church is a Nazi church. We have a service that young families that want to learn to teach their kids the Urdu language, which means they're Pakistani, Bangladesh. I have a young pastor that's been with me for 7 years that's helping them learn how to worship God in their Urdu language. We have multiple families from Korea, from China, from Vietnam. We have people from El Salvador, Mexico. And we even have people that, like myself, born from America in there. And that's what I shared with the school board that night. And yet the media and the opposition continues to call us a white nationalist church. Pastors, I know that you don't want to be identified as a political church. The church isn't a political machine. It's a biblical part of God's kingdom. You will not get heaven on earth in your schools, in your government, in your community, if the church remains silent. Heaven won't come on earth until the church starts doing all that God has equipped us to make a difference before Jesus comes back.
As far as I'm concerned, it doesn't get any better than this. This is the end of the interview.
Okay, okay, no, that was easy.
Yeah. Your church went to a school board meeting, and as a result, we have this video. When did this happen? How long ago?
Well, the election was in November, and the agenda started in January. And our two school board members from our church said, what's showing up is young activist kids from the one special high school here in Redlands, even though there's five school districts that's represented in Redlands in our unified school district. And the kids were showing up in great numbers, and the whole progressive left was there, and they said, no one's coming saying what do they want as normal school? And so I just said it one Sunday morning in both our Sunday morning services, and that next school board meeting, we had 51 people come, and the majority of them spoke at the school board there, and it flipped the switch for everything that happened. And four resolutions have gone forward on the four things that I talked about in that video that we hope to see them all pass this summer. And we'll get back to some sanity in that you're going to school. Watch, what an idea that you're going to school to flip the life learning experience idea of that's why we go to school.
Amen. November 2024 was the election. When did you, your group show up at the school board meeting? What month?
We showed up on that very first one in January when we heard that the resolutions that were going to be passed and that the previous one that talked about them, they were inundated with so much negative against these resolutions. They said it's going to put the school districts in the courts. It's going to keep the classroom where it's not focused on education. Like the things that we put in there aren't focusing on education. So I just put a simple plea out. I said, I'm going to be there. Who'd like to join me? And so many of our young families, and we had at least four families that were had a interest in especially the sports because they had kids playing in girls that had boys playing against them in the sports. And the mothers got up and the parents got up, and it was just amazing ability to just hear. We were calm. None of us got marched out. The progressive side, they were cussing. They were saying, shame on you. One lady actually took her time instead of addressing the school board. She pointed at me and she said, I rebuke you for your hate language. I'm thinking, all I did was let's make it about education. Let's get all the sexualization of the classroom out.
Truth sounds like the hate to those that hate the truth, right?
Yep.
So now November 2020, are you talking about January 2025 is when you went to the school board meeting?
Yes. January 2025 is when we showed up in a force where it wasn't just me coming to the school board and here that our people showed up, and our people have been showing up ever since. There's going to be a good group of our church that there's a school board meeting tonight where the opposition, the progressive side, wants to bring in a resolution stating that if we pass these other four resolutions, they wanted to clear that's racism against their subculture.
Yeah, they're one of the magic words, offend, yeah. Racism, inclusion. But you did I mishear you? You have school board members, and two of those school board members go to your church?
Yes, we actually had three from our church that ran for the office. Two got elected. The third one just barely missed. We're hoping this next time that we could replace two more on the school board and have four out of five of the school board right from our own church. We learned the model from Chino Hills, Jack Hibbs Church. They have all five school board members are people from their church. And then it happened in Temecula also. And so that model, we said, hey, why if they can do it, so can we. And God gave favor, and two out of the three got elected. And the chairperson has been voting with our two school board members. So we've been winning all these things by a narrow margin of 3-2.
As a church body, when we show up, folks, we win. I mean, I've experienced that myself. The problem is, I did not mention this to you before, Kevin, but I attended school board meetings for 10 years. A decade, 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
And I finally ended up running for school board. But the first problem was I ran as a Christian. And the second problem I wasn't supported by the teachers union. So you know how that worked out, right?
Oh, yes.
But that's okay. It was a great experience. And what I found in school board meetings, and maybe you haven't been there long enough, but schools teach life has no meaning. They teach evolution is fact. Multiculturalism and diversity, which you're heavily involved with right now in the school board. I'm okay. You're okay. Morals are relative. Whatever you want them to be, it can be. Man, not God, is the measure of all things. And the state's your daddy. And what the school does in a lot of cases is they take children, they make victims out of them, and they become the parents for the child. We'll protect. The child might even not know what they're feeling. And they're told that they're victims, and then the schools will say to them, "Well, okay, don't worry about that. they put their arm around you, or they'll have somebody from the LGBTQ community and put their arm around you and say, you're okay, we like you, don't worry about it. And don't tell your parents. Don't tell your parents.
You're right. They're indoctrinating kids so early. And even at the school board meetings, at our last one, when the resolution got to go forward that basically boys born biologically male cannot play in women's sports, they brought a little 9-year-old girl up to the podium. And here's what she said to the school board members. Why do you hate my friends? I don't care. My friends look like girls and they're my friends. I don't care who I play against. We just all love each other. Why do you guys have such hate towards my friends? I hope they can play in sports with me. And the progressive side did a standing ovation. They gave her high fives and she shook. She literally, she shook like I am the queen of this world. She was 9 years old and they've indoctrinated her that this is what should be normal for your generation.
You know, a lot of folks that are listening to this aren't going to necessarily believe it. I've got, Spencer, if you can get that video up, the 3-minute video, that this is so telling, and it's happening all over the USA. Go ahead and play that, Spencer, because this is what you were just talking about. This is what's going on.
Which character just looks gay?
Well, meet Mike.
Which one of these characters is a lesbian baddie that's gonna mow over and make you dinner? Oh, Olivia is? Oh, great.
All right, in more groomer news, Libs of TikTok has this that says these are internal messages from a fourth grade elementary teacher in Austin Independent School District. She's upset that an entire week dedicated to LGBT still wasn't good enough. And coincidentally, 20 out of 32 of her fourth graders are LGBT and have come out to her. Okay, so we talked last week about in Austin schools, they had a Pride Week, which included having a forced Pride march through the hallways. And they decked all the kids out in rainbow stuff and all that kind of thing. And they had signs and they were waving flags and marched through the schools. And they had community. This was where they had the community circles where they'd sit all the kids around and they'd tell secrets. And they were told, don't tell anybody outside the circle, especially your parents, about the secrets. But teachers are upset that this happened, not because it was totally inappropriate, but because it shouldn't just be a week. It should be an entire year. So here's this teacher from an internal message, fourth grade elementary teacher. Says, I feel that it is inappropriate to call our parade this morning a wellness walk. While I understand that wellness walk is something that was previously in motion to promote health and fitness and is something we want to continue, it really takes away from the experience of celebrating Pride to couple the two. The first Pride was a riot. It is not enough to just welcome, love, and celebrate queer folks with an X. Your allyship should always lead you to activism, speaking up and fighting for what is right, even when it feels uncomfortable. We can't choose in and out of our protest spaces. And then it continues. Out of the 32 students that I teach, 20 of them are LGBTQIA+ and have come out to me. I feel that we need to do better for them. To affirm our students, I think it would only be appropriate and right to publicly announce that what we had this morning was a pride parade. Our students are aware and are paying attention. Okay, so a big part of her problem is that they had a march through the schools and there were pride flags and everything, but they didn't specifically call it a pride parade, and that's what she's worried about. But let's put all that to the side and just focus on this detail for a moment. This is a fourth grade teacher saying that 32 students, 20 of them in fourth grade, are LGBT, she says, and have personally come out to her. 20 out of 32. That's as opposed to like everybody else's experience if you're an adult in fourth grade and basically no kid would have identified as LGBT. It just wasn't on the radar. You weren't thinking about it. You weren't talking about it. Now 20 out of 32, she says. And she says it proudly. This is not a secret that she wants to keep. This is, To call this a social contagion, I think, understates the facts of the matter. But this is something unlike anything that the world's ever seen. We are watching an entire generation of children be reshaped and reformed in front of our very eyes. Laws protecting kids is like the least, that's starting level of what we need to be doing.
If you do the math on that, 20 out of 32 is 62% fourth graders. Now, let's just say this is an isolated example. It's still child abuse. I'm sorry. To me, it's child abuse. But this isn't an isolated example. This is just the one we found out about. This is growing and growing and growing. And don't think because you live in the outer world, in a farming community, that it's not happening there, because the teachers' union runs our government-run schools. The teachers' union runs them, be it in Redlands, California, Columbus, Ohio, Newark, Ohio, any small town you can think of, they are in control. And they're doing this to your children. Oh, and by the way, you're paying handsomely for it. Thank you very much. Appreciate that. So we have a pastor who not only did he dare interview with me today, is actually going to go to a school board meeting after this. Mm-hmm. You're a courageous man, Pastor. What do you think about that video, sir?
Well, I'm telling you, it breaks my heart as I see the media is, and the, like you're saying, the teacher unions, they're so powerful right now. They are pushing the agenda to continue to transform America into something that will never recognize it again if the Christians stay silent.
Yes, sir.
The silence of the church, the silence of pastors, you know, we say, oh, well, you're only supposed to tell them about Jesus' love. Well, wait a minute. Jesus' first message went after he was baptized by John the Baptist was repent. The kingdom of God is at hand. There's a transformation that means we're supposed to be more like God, not as far away as we can get from God. And so the silence of the church and the loudness of media is destroying our country.
Amen. And I'm going to share from my personal experience. I've learned more about myself and my creator by engaging in the culture, by taking mm-hmm. what I'm learning in the church, and also in prayer meetings and in other meetings with other Christians, and applying that in the culture, mm-hmm. and it really fine tunes where you are. It's kind of like, you know, being in a huddle. And then you go to church, you're in the huddle, and then you go back home, and then next Sunday you go to church and you're in the huddle, and then you go home, and maybe you even have your favorite adult beverage and watch some sports or whatever. And then next Sunday you go to the church and then you go home. You never break the huddle, you never call a play, and you never run a play.
Right.
And that is what I love about what you're doing, Pastor Kevin O'Connor. You're actually running a play. And you've already found out that the other side has the referees on their side, right?
Oh, yeah. It's interesting. They call us the hate mongers and that we're bringing these things. And yet what's been violated is only our church. During the election time, we had roofing nails thrown on our driveways coming in and out of the church. We had Pentagon signs and witches seances and videos of hexes being put, all the rest. And the only thing that really happened was our church continued to grow.
Yes.
People kept on saying, you know what, when you stand with God, God says that's a safe place to draw people that can hear how to do something Monday through Saturday. And we come and celebrate that on Sunday and give God the glory. To just be quiet all week long, we are missing the greatest opportunity for a generation to come to Jesus Christ right now. They're hungry for the truth. And we're seeing young families especially be the ones that go, I want to hear the truth when I go to church. I don't want to have people just tell me the love, love, love. And yes, God is love, but he's so many other characteristics of who he is. He's a righteous God, and the things that are coming to our education is not righteousness at all.
Yeah, there's an old saying that if you see a need, that's your calling. Folks, if you can't see a need out there now, I mean, God can't make this any more clear than he already has. It's obvious what the problems are out there. And this isn't just about school boards. There's so many other issues out there. Just the family alone is an incredible. I think the figures I saw that 50% of children don't live with both their biological mother and father.
Mm-hmm.
Children need their biological mother and father. They need the affirmation. We talked a little bit about background, and I came from a pretty rugged background, home back. By the way, if you have a question, raise your hand. I'd be more than happy to bring you in. And it was really difficult. And I came, one of the things that the Bible does that I didn't really realize actually till quite recently is it is such a positive message. The Bible is, it's positive. It's, mm-hmm. Yeah, there's some correction things in there, but it basically says that if you look for something positive to happen, by the way, this is what that would look like. It even explains it to you. Okay. Mm-hmm. If you want something positive to happen, then make it happen. You have natural laws on your side and you have me on your side, but you got to show up. You've got to show up to win. And it's not going to be easy.
We can't expect the educators and the secular world to fix the problems when the church is really in there to do that. You're right. There's an organization called Love Life. This is a new organization that partners with Christian pregnancy centers, that these kids that choose to keep their babies, we as churches, we then adopt them through their process of carrying that baby, whether they're going to put it up for adoption or keep it themselves. We do baby showers for them and come and pray blessings over them, bring all the things they need from car seats and everything. You got to have hands-on in every area. And you're right. Dads are missing in a lot of these things. But, you know, I'm seeing a trend. Dads are waking up to it. I'm seeing dads playing with their little girls and their young boys at the park. And now I'm seeing them walk them to church. And so there's a reversal that can happen.
Yeah, and dads need to show that leadership. Ephesians 5, I think it's 5:20, but Ephesians 5 shows the order, the natural order of the family. That, by the way, is God, Jesus Christ, man, woman, children. And that is a vertical relationship, folks. That's not horizontal. Mm-hmm. That's vertical. Yep. And a child, if the child doesn't learn authority in the family, look out, because they're going to learn it either in the streets, with gangs, maybe from your schools. But we have an inherent need for authority. I think that's one of those natural laws that I talk about a lot. And you mm-hmm. want to see that in the family. Now, the mother and father are authority figures, okay? But the father is the leader. And it must be noted that way. You know, wait till dad gets home, right? Remember that? Just wait till dad gets home. Boom. And a lot of this had to do with the feminization of America, I guess the world now, but the feminization, and that started way back in the 60s and 70s. I'm okay, you're okay. And it always starts with an innocent, well, we just want to be respected, okay?
Right.
We just want to be equal. And then we're entitled to be leaders too, say the women, okay? And we're going to have the careers too, say the women. And then your children are watching the whole time. And then you start having problems and you've developed independence on both sides of the parental end. And then no fault divorce came along. Mm-hmm. Katie barred the door. Man, that's being in a relationship, folks. That's being in a relationship where there is no contract. You can leave anytime you want. You have 1 foot out the door once you're married. You have 1 foot mm-hmm. out the door, 1 foot in the door. You can go out the door anytime you want to. And you don't have to have a good reason to do it. Just go. And what we need to do and what we need to recognize and what you're going to the school board meetings for is this is about children. It's not about our feelings. This is about mm-hmm. children.
Yep. you know, it also besides the feminist movement making a big thing, the declaring men are toxic, you know, and that men can't be trusted, and men their emotions are out of whack, and they're always abusers, and they put men in such bad light that they say the only one you can really trust is women in this. And like you're saying, it's taken out of the biblical order there. And I love, if you even look around, you know, Mike Wallace has a beard, you got a beard, we grow beard. It men are coming back to their masculinity and knowing there's a powerful role that we have to play. And if we don't man up, the world's going to be in trouble.
That's not saying you're a man, by the way. Okay. you got to walk the walk, folks.
That's right.
And there's a problem because momentum is against us. We're facing not only the feminist movement, but this, you can have sex with anybody you want, anytime, anyway. Doesn't make a difference whether the man, woman, child, dog, tree, anything you want to have sex with, you can have. I mean, we're well down that road. My wife watched a program the other night. I started to watch a program the other night. It's about a man and a woman and a man and a woman. They're living in the same house. The one man is married to the woman. The other man is married to the other woman. But the one man that's married to the woman is also the boyfriend of the other man that's married to the woman. I mean, you ask yourself, what next?
I said, that's crazy.
Yeah, and they're having a baby. One of the women's having a baby. And one of the guys says, well, I really don't want to know who the father is. You know, it's not about you, Dad. It's about the child. And that child wants to know who that father is. And they need that affirmation. Sorry, I blew up there.
No, you're right on that. And what's happening so early, you know, I grew up in a home with five sisters. Did they enjoy dress me up as a girl at Halloween? Yes. But I knew it was a playtime in that kind of stuff. And they needed, because we were a single parent home with just a mom. They needed men in the household. And God started building that inside us that we had to look out for our sisters. I have two brothers also. And so, yes, a large family that I grew up in. But we knew that we were protectors of the women. Even though we would play along with their games and different things, you know, that the innocence shouldn't be robbed from the kids out of a fear mode. But you have to continue to reinforce, this is what men is. And here's the difference when my kids were growing up. As I watch my granddaughters now, when they fall down, we run over and we kiss their hands or whatever, scrape. When my boys fell down, I said, you're men, brush it off. This is what men do, you know. And they go, Dad, look at this scar, you know. And they were proud of that. They were going through a passage of manhood that we don't react like women do when it comes to tough, difficult things and even physical things.
Isn't that the expression they used? From anyway,
yep.
I want to get back to the school. Prep for tonight. But if you would play that short video. We're talking about schools. We're talking about kids. And we're talking about indoctrination.
Clip from a preschool teacher talking about how her students. Barely call them students in preschool. But anyway, they are very good allies, she says. Listen.
I posted that video on my Instagram as well, and it got an insane amount of hate. So I'm going to share more positive interactions with the preschool age kids I work with. For context, I'm a trans person who does not pass as the gender they identify with. Yesterday, one of the other staff came up to me and she was talking to me and then started talking to the kids about me. And she used she, her pronouns for me. And one of the kids interrupted her and went, he's a boy. So, you know what? Pop off. My biggest allies are 3 years old.
Biggest allies are 3 years old. So you're going to the school board tonight, and you're going to be accompanied by a good portion of your congregation. What are the issues tonight?
Tonight is again preparing for the vote on the four issues that we've had on that teachers shouldn't be able to hide if a child wants to change their name or want to be identified as a different gender in school, and then also the gay flag being removed, the pride flag being removed from the classroom, and only the California and the United States flag being it. And the final vote on biological boys not playing in girls' sports and the porn that's in the library. Our last school board meeting, one of our members started reading from one of the books in the library, and they said, you can't do this. Yeah, that's too. Yeah. And we go, this is what you're letting middle school and younger ones get their hands on in your public school library. And you say, we can't read it here. And so how do they even connect those dots? You know, and it's really scary.
You've got five school board members. You have two from your church. You have one who is basically the school board president, if you will.
She's the swing vote for most of all things. She's the one that's been voting with our two school board members from our church.
Okay. So she'll be the target tonight.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep. And you know, here's what you're seeing in this. They so are it. It's much more than just local. This is national, because now in California that we have three cities, Chino, Temecula, and now Redlands in it, they are sending more and more people there. They are actually this afternoon, and I'm so glad it's like 95 degrees outside, they are holding a prayer vigil that we would not destroy their children's identities. That's what they're doing before the school. The progressives are holding a prayer meeting to show that they can, you know, they think it's playing a religion game instead of that it's a creation order. And they're praying that we won't destroy their kids' identities by pushing through the resolutions that we have. And that's happening. It's happening here in the next 15 minutes, their prayer meeting outside the school board building.
I was going to ask you the question, the big question. What about the other churches?
Well, the other churches have been very silent for the most part. There's a really great church here. Their name is the Remnant Church in Redlands. And Pastor Aaron, he came for the first time to the school board meeting, and he shyly said, I've never been to a school board. I go, let me tell you, you're gonna have your eyes open. And he saw kids, when things passed, they actually were scratching at their face, pulling at their clothes, saying, no, this can't be going this way, you know? And it's like, all it was that the resolution was moving forward. It hadn't passed. And they get so traumatized. And he said, they're thinking, and here's what's really interesting. As him and I talked about it, I was reading, like you said earlier, JR, that when you're active throughout the week, what you're reading, God will deal with you. Uh-huh. There's a scripture in Deuteronomy 28:28. It says about the curses when you don't honor God. And here's the three curses. There'll be a confusion of heart, a madness of thinking, and a blindness to what's really going on. That described the people. When I shared that with Pastor Aaron from the Remnant Church, he goes, it's like you can see the demons attacking these kids and these people. And there's such a high percentage of them that are, we believe, are being paid now to be there on a regular basis, because these kids are multiplying in number, and especially the trans aspect of it. Every school board meeting, we're seeing more of them there. And yet they don't know what to say, except for, don't listen to these people from the churches that are hateful. And we're going, no, we came to tell you we love you. We want you to have a quality education. Remove the sexualization from the classroom. Go in there to learn what you're supposed to learn in all the subjects of science and maths and English. And you know, they even said, you guys want to ban books. I go, I read so many books. I love books. I go, I don't want to ban any literature. I want to ban porn. I've dealt with it as 40 years as a pastor, how it's destroyed men, women, families, homes, that we actually have AA groups and NA groups. We have an SA group at our church here, Sexual Anonymous, that wow. They come, people that need to get free from these addictions. And then we're trying to start a new addiction at a younger level through the public school, with porn being in the libraries. And they're thinking we're Nazis, that we're going to burn books and ban books. No. We're just banning pornography. I love all literature. It doesn't have to be Christian literature, but it shouldn't be pornography.
They don't think that. They don't think that. They want you to think that, but they do not think that. They could care less. They could really care less. I mentioned to you that I, when a school board meeting or a school board, I attended a meeting, I brought five or six books in that were conservative and some of them Christian. And they'd had the books you're talking about. Trust me, they had the books you're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
They were in the library. And I said, well, okay, if you're going to accept those books, will you accept these books? No.
Yeah. Yeah, we had that said at the last school board meeting. We said, well, you guys wouldn't ban the Bible from your school, would you? Saying it in a facetious way, because yes, they do ban the Bible from being one of the books in the library even. Yeah. It's crazy.
This is the first reading tonight? Is this the first reading tonight of the proposals?
This is the first proposal of their resolution to declare if these four resolutions that are going to be voted on this summer, that they're saying that they want to bring a suit of racism against the school board.
Yep. And I would recommend, behind me, you can see a part of it is a natural family flag. And if they're going to ask to fly gay flags, well, ask them to fly one of those in the classroom. You'll get a conversation out of that, I'll guarantee you.
I'm sure.
Yeah. And I can connect you up with a school board member here in Ohio, because another school in Ohio was going through the same thing you're going through.
Mm-hmm.
They voted not to have the flags in their classrooms. And I think they got rid of some other issues with regards to that. Again, Christian people doing what they need to do. But look, that we need to get out into the game, if you will, into society. Mm-hmm. I don't know where Jesus was involved in politics. You know that, right?
Absolutely.
Okay.
So were the apostles. So was Paul. You know, he asked, you say, as a citizen in Rome, I know my rights. And that's what they keep on yelling at me. Separation church and state. You can't come here and speak. I go, I got grandkids. We got from our church. We have people that attend all five school districts within our church. And so I said, for me to be silent, I never gave up my right to speak. That, you know, and they're going, well, we're going to make you lose your tax exemption. We go, it's okay. If we're in business for a tax exemption, then we should be closed down. We're here to honor God. And they don't understand that was actually originally our founding fathers was to keep the state out of the church business, not to keep the church out of the state business. And they get that wrong because they don't get taught the history of our founding fathers.
And that's actually you could have a couple sermons on that, because that is a religious class talking about how the foundies, the laws of nature and nature's God. What? But Jesus isn't mentioned in the Constitution. See? Yeah, we got you there. We got you there. Natural laws are. And God is mentioned in the Constitution.
Yes.
You're headed to the meeting tonight with your church members. Are you going to be speaking tonight?
Yes, I'll be speaking on, and they have, you can speak on their resolution, and we try not to give them a platform by speaking about their resolution. We go, there's a resolution time that you speak, and then a community time. I'll speak tonight in the community time, because I want to just reassure them you can be more open. If you're speaking on the resolution, you have to address their issues instead of what really is the true issue out there, that this is a smoke and mirrors. There's no racism by saying let's keep the focus on education and not on kids' genders.
But that's what it's become. And it's what you focus on is what you're going to be. And
yes.
what the schools are focusing. Can you remember when we didn't have sex education in school? And then we just had that one optional class. You remember how that started?
Yeah.
It was a test. How stupid are you, parents? What harm can they do? I mean, it's just like biology, right? They're just going to have an extended biology class. That's all. Mm-hmm. Don't worry about it. Mm-hmm. And the next thing you know, we're where we are now. And this is not the end of it, folks. This is not the end of it. Go ahead, Pastor.
J.R., here's the biggest issue that I see over and over again. And if churches and if you're in a church that doesn't understand this, run from it. What's happening in our society, the creation is telling the creator how it works instead of the creator telling the creation, this is how I made you. And so whenever the creation wants to talk to the creator or declare that the creator doesn't exist and this is how life works, that's when you know you're in a bad church, you're in a bad school system and everything, where the creation wants to set the rules. We don't set the rules. We live by what God made us. He made a male and female. He didn't say, and 37 other genders or whatever. Now it's much higher than that, what they come up with in that. It's just crazy. The pronouns that the young kids at the school meeting, they insist that when they introduce them, use the pronouns. And we're like, do you really have to do that? I mean, okay, yes, I can't tell. I know you're transitioning one way. I'm not sure which way you're transitioning in this, but can't you just get up and say your name? You know, and that they want the identity there so strong. And it's an identity that's not from the creator. It's from the creation.
Did not God say, you know, God made a perfect world and Adam and Eve said, okay, Lord, we'll take it from here. And here we are. Here we are. The one thing, and I do have this out of orneriness, but most men that I know are polyamorous. And especially when we're teenagers and we got those chemicals going through our system. Polyamorous means many loves, folks.
Mm-hmm.
So you know what high school boys are thinking most of the time, okay?
Right.
I just don't understand why there hasn't been a polyamorous club initiated in the public schools.
This is something that I gave several school board meetings back. I said, you know, we're seeing more and more young girls and young boys being violated, and you guys are putting the kids that don't even know how to handle sexuality, you're putting porn in the library, and they're in classes, if they're in fourth grade, they're in classes with first graders, and they're wondering why it seems like there's more and more things that are happening within the school. In 2018, CBS did a half-hour program on Redland schools because of the sexual things. They called it the silent pledge, because so many teachers were having sex with students in 2018. It's worth looking up and you'll see our beautiful city of Redlands. And we should be the most strict on this with what we have as a record from 2018 on. And I've been here pastoring this church since 2011. So I remember how tragic that was for our public schools. And it's like, oh, well, that was 6 years ago. We're different now. And it seems like the pandemic has pushed this whole gender issue so fast forward.
That's a good point. That's a good point. I didn't realize 2018. How large is Redlands, the city?
Redlands is a city between 85 and 90,000 people.
Oh, that's pretty large. Mm-hmm. That's pretty large. And the larger, large equals liberal, LL.
Yeah.
It's generally that way.
We were known at the turn of the 20th century, the city of churches. And wow, and many of them are silent today.
Well, our adversary, he's pretty smart. He's pretty wise. Much smarter than we are as humans, but he doesn't have the advantage we have in terms of the wisdom that can be provided via the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
And we need to be reminded of that. And folks, in church, I look at a church in terms, we started off early with this, two areas, Mercy Ministries, let's say this, it's a hospital ship, okay? And Prophetic Ministries, and I'll call that a battleship, okay? So the ship that we were looking at looks something like it's got the Red Cross on it for the doctors and the nurses, but it also has the guns for the battleship. And to me, that's what the ship should look like. And people should really respect what we have to say, but they've been taught just the opposite. But whatever we say is wrong. Whatever is right is wrong. Wrong is right. Bizarro world. Well, here we're here. But again, folks, that means that's an opportunity. You have more and more opportunities. Go ahead, Pastor. I'm yakking away.
I was going to say you're hitting right down the prophetic part in Isaiah 5:20. It says, "What is good will be considered evil. What is evil will be considered good. What is light will be considered darkness. What is darkness will be considered light." And watch the last one. What is sweet will be considered bitter. And what is bitter will be considered sweet. That's Isaiah 5:20. It's worth seeing this upside down world is telling you what was coming way back then, because this is a prophetic aspect of the further you get away from God, the crazier your thinking gets.
Pastor Kevin O'Connor, Ark Church, Redlands, California. Before we go, tell us a little bit about your church.
Our church, as I said, we're 114 years in the community. We are a church that is continuing to change into the 21st century. Many of the things that are happening here now weren't happening even a dozen years ago. We really believe that we're supposed to be the heartbeat of the community. If you go back in the history of America, the church was the place where everybody gathered together. They would even use it as the courthouse, and all the different things was where the church met. And so we're trying to do that. And so we have opened up our church to 28 other nonprofit organizations that are here, from charter schools to we have special needs, a clinic for special needs here that's run out of our church, besides all the other things that you can get if you have any addiction issues. And if you're a family member that you have the addicted spouse or child, we have about 8 Al-Anon groups for parents, for the teenagers, and there's a women's group in it, men's group, and as I also shared, even a sexual addiction group that meets here under great anonymity. And you're here to get your help, not here for we don't come to expose any of your issues. We all have fallen short of the glory of God and need His grace. And we're here. We have literally every Monday through Sunday during the day and the evening, our campus is being used right now for our community. We want to be a light in the community of help. And that's what I'm hoping more churches will grab that model and run with it.
Yeah, I'm going to have to talk to you off air about that, because that's one of my big pet peeves, is it's Sunday and then nothing. Nothing. And there's land, there's building there that you can use. And it sounds like you don't have to dust off anything when you come back in Sunday, do you?
Can you imagine getting to heaven and God said, "I gave you all those facilities and you used them on Sunday morning. That was it. And maybe one meeting during the week. And so we use them 7 days a week."
Now, to locate this church, just look for the sign with the swastika on it, right?
No, we got that cleared off. We're actually just 2 blocks from the University of Redlands on Grove. We're on the corner of Citrus and Grove, and we've been at this location for 65 years. The Salvation Army in town was our location from 1911 to 1959. Since 1960, this is where we've been for 65 years now at this location, and we're planning to be here till Jesus comes and gets us.
Churches have ups and downs, folks. They have ups and downs, and it's just,
yes.
The church, the word is going to get more expanded just because of the need. We've painted ourselves into that corner, and we need some help. And that help is only going to come from the church. That's where you're going to get the help from. You can look all over creation for it, but it's the church, it's the Bible, it's Christians. We're here. We're in position and at the ready, and put me in, God, right? Is that what you said?
Yes. And, you know, your group can, if they go to YouTube and they put in the Ark Church, they'll find us on YouTube, Telegram. We're on Rumble and Twitch, and of course Facebook, and we started all that with the pandemic. We were one of the churches, we ought to discuss that someday, we were one of the churches that came open in May of 2020 against California governor, against all the other different things, even against my own denomination that said you're going to become known as a super spreader. No, what happened was we became a super rescuer, and all those ministry groups that I was telling you, they were on hold during the pandemic. And we came back in May of 2020, and we had groups standing outside our facilities crying, saying, thank you. We didn't know how we could make it even another week. And I said, I give you this promise, we'll never close the doors of the church ever again. We were closed for 6 weeks during 2020, and that was it. And we came open on Pentecost Sunday in May of 2020, and God's blessed us because of it.
You've become a super spreader. It's not COVID, okay? Love what you're doing. I don't think we have enough time to talk about the board members, but real briefly, how long of did the board members get elected in 2024?
Yes, they got elected in 2024, and they're elected for a 2-year period.
Two, okay.
Yes, and so they're really boy. Pray for our school board members from our church. One of them is a trauma nurse at Loma Linda Hospital, a state-of-the-art trauma center there. And she's been there 20 years. And her name is Candy Olson. And Candy has had fake people come into the emergency room so that they could say they saw her. And in 20 years, she's had a stellar record, and they've come against her where she's had to meet with the HR department 3 different times because of false accusations, because she's a school board member now. And so they're the kind of things that they do. And you can't be afraid of that. You know what? She's such a champion of it all. She smiles and she goes, that just lets me know that we're heading the right direction, because she cares. She has kids. Her youngest is in school with my granddaughter, who's 7 years of age. And so she wants to change her world. And man, we got her back, and she is a hero.
I love it. And real quick, brief description of the other school board member.
What's that?
Brief description of the other school board member. We got about a minute and a half left. I'm sorry, a couple minutes left.
Yes, the other school board member is Jeanette Wilson. And Jeanette Wilson is actually, her whole career has been in foster care, home care as a social worker and everything. And so she knows what's happening in these homes, and she loves being in there. They've energized our community and taken us in the right direction. She's a hero also. And they're both deeply involved in our church.
And in God. For sure. Yep. It just presents so many opportunities, Pastor O'Connor. I'm blessed to get to know you, and the more you talk about your church, the more I'm blessed to hear about that and the congregation, what they're doing. I'm sure there's other stories within. I mean, not all your congregants have to be school board members, okay? They can still be doing other things, which I'm sure they are. I'm sure they are.
J.R., it's been a privilege to be here today. Thank you so much for letting us get the word out, because what's happening in California, Wisconsin should be able to push it back even stronger. I know that you guys have some of the exact same issues, but let me tell you, there's a great Bible Belt there in Wisconsin also that could rise up and help you guys too.
Amen. Amen. I think we're going to have to go here shortly. Again, Pastor O'Connor, I appreciate you, and I will be praying for you tonight on that school board meeting. And go spread the word, brother.
Thank you. God bless you all.
Pastor Kevin O'Connor, Ark Church, Redlands, California. Amen. Yep.